greet you this morning for the name of Jesus, to welcome each one to the service this morning. May God be glorified. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, for a text verse. First Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Is that what it says? It's not. What does it say? Let me repeat that. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. What is wrong? Brotherhood, that's right. Title of the message today is Brotherhood or Botherhood. The dictionary says that a brotherhood is a state or quality of being a brother, an association of men for any purpose, as a society of monks or a fraternity, a class of men of the same kind, profession, or occupation. That was the 1828 Webster. The Merriam-Webster, more current dictionary, says feelings of friendship, support, and understanding between people, a group or organization of people who have the same interests, jobs, and etc. So as we look at the brotherhood versus a botherhood, I looked up the meaning of the word bother. In the 1828 dictionary, the word bother was in there, but it didn't have a definition. It said it is the vulgar pronunciation of the word pother, with a P instead of P as in Paul, instead of a B as in boy. That was a new one to me. I didn't even know pother was a word. But then if you look up the word and it says, see pother. And when you look up pother, it gave the definition that we would use for bother. But if you look at, you know, the current dictionary, the word bother, as we use it, has, you know, the thing of being irritated or annoyed by something. Something that is a trouble to you to do. Versus this meaning of a brotherhood is something that you have an interest in, a common interest, something that you enjoy, something you look forward to. And, you know, as I looked at my life, I've had this message on my mind for some time already, I know there have been times in my life that the brotherhood has been a botherhood to me. There were things that I was called and asked to do that were a bother to me. You know, and as I thought about being our turn to mow the church and schoolyard, that was kind of a bother, you know, especially with the week of meetings and everything. You know, how am I going to fit that in my schedule? There's a lot of other things I would rather be doing than, you know, mowing yard. But here, God is telling us to love the brotherhood. In other words, he is saying, don't let it become a botherhood to you. Don't let it be a bother. But if you're asked to do something, if you're called to do something in the brotherhood, love that. Enjoy that. Do it willingly. Do it gladly. I'd like to look at four different points this morning. Number one is, what is the brotherhood we are commanded to love? Number two, what causes the brotherhood to become a botherhood to us? Number three, what are some results of the brotherhood becoming a botherhood to me? And number four, why is the brotherhood so important? So let's look at number one. What is the brotherhood we are commanded to love? Here it says, love the brotherhood. I like to think of the brotherhood. Now, we, you know, in the definition that I read there, it could be any group of people that have a common interest. But I don't think that is what God is saying or is talking about here necessarily. Yes, we as Christians should have a common interest. But I like to think of it as, you know, a group of people that are born again, sin cleansed, heaven bound, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ that not only love their master, but they love each other. And Brother James has, here some time ago, has shared a devotional about being of one mind. You know, it is that unity in Jesus Christ is what makes the brotherhood that God is telling us to love. Our love, our commonality around Jesus Christ. And I'd like to look at our next Sunday school lesson just a little bit. In the first six verses of Ephesians 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So here it is talking about, in verse 3, the unity of the Spirit. You know, that is what we have in Jesus Christ when we are of one mind. We have the unity of the Spirit. Now, when we are a brotherhood that is just has a common interest around something that we enjoy doing, we might have the spirit of unity because of that thing that we enjoy doing. But when we are one in Jesus Christ, then we have unity of the Spirit. Because when we all have the mind of Christ, it is that mind of Christ that binds us together, that draws us together. You know, and having the mind of Christ enables us as Christians to look past the faults, the imperfections of our brothers and sisters, and it enables us to love them in spite of that, in spite of the faults and the imperfections. And I'm sure when you look at me, you see plenty of them, you know, things that I need or could work on. Things that might be a bother to you, that might trouble you, you see in my life. Whereas, you know, the spirit of unity, it only loves as long as you agree with that brotherhood. You know, the commonality of that spirit of unity, the commonality is not in Christ, but it's in the thing, the cultural thing or the religious thing or the interest that you have, whatever it is that is bringing you together, that you have amongst yourselves. And when you drop out of that interest, you automatically drop out of that brotherhood. So the brotherhood that we are commanded to love, I believe, is all of those who are one in Christ, all of those who have the mind of Christ. And of course, it should start with our local church here, but it doesn't stop there. It reaches out to all of those. You know, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the brotherhood. He is the head and we are the body. And by the way, you sisters are also included in this brotherhood. You know, the Bible a lot of times uses the male term, but, you know, you're not brothers, no. But, you know, in the brotherhood, in the church, you are a part of that union in Jesus Christ. So it would be a brotherhood / sisterhood. In 1 Corinthians 12, as we look at Jesus Christ as being our head, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that is talking about love. So here in this chapter is bringing out so plainly and so clearly that there are going to be differences in the brotherhood, in the church, and yet we have a deep need for each other. You know, as Christians, we should sense, first of all, a deep need for Jesus Christ in our lives, His Holy Spirit to direct us and guide us and move us in our lives. And then we should also sense a deep need for our brothers and sisters in the church. As we heard in devotions this morning, you are not your own. You know, you belong to Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. So that is the brotherhood that we are commanded to love, you know, our brothers and sisters that we see here, and those brothers and sisters that we don't see that are one in Christ. We are commanded to love that brotherhood, that it should not become a botherhood to us. Okay, let's look at number two. What causes the brotherhood to become a botherhood to us? I'd like to say that almost always, you know, the thing is, you should never say never, and you always refrain from saying always. So almost always, probably always, if the brotherhood becomes a botherhood to me, it's my fault. Almost always. It's some attitude problem that I have. If the brotherhood becomes a botherhood to me, it's not going to be the fault of the brotherhood, chances are. But let me try to explain that. You know, I believe there are times, possibly that, yes, there are times, I should say, that the brotherhood will make mistakes. And maybe the brotherhood moves away from allowing Jesus Christ to be the head of the brotherhood. And the life of the brotherhood could be revolving around some cultural or religious thing that is, you know, holding them together. And they move into the thing of the spirit of unity, and they move away from the unity of the Spirit. You know, that is possible that could happen. That Jesus is no longer the head. But if I am a part, if you are a part of the brotherhood and that happens, then, and you are still living with the Lord Jesus Christ as your head, you are still commanded to love that brotherhood. And you will still love that brotherhood. Even if the brotherhood has deviated from where God would want them to be. But because you love the brotherhood, the Spirit of God is going to move you and stir you to speak up about that thing that you see that is wrong in the brotherhood that you love. The Spirit of God will move you to do that. And chances are that if the brethren are committed to following Jesus Christ, they will see their error and they will repent of that, and they will be restored and come back under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will once more submit to Jesus as their head. And things will be set right again. But if the brethren are more concerned about keeping that cultural or religious thing that they have deviated from Jesus Christ to, and they refuse to see that they are in the wrong, then it is time for you, if Jesus Christ is your head and you really are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is true that the brotherhood has deviated, then it is time for you as an individual to find a brotherhood that does have the Lord Jesus Christ as their head. After you have spoken up and let the brotherhood that you love know where they are wrong. But I would dare say that it is much more common that the times when the brotherhood becomes a botherhood to us is because that I myself as an individual have left my first love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have deviated away from allowing Jesus Christ to be my head, and I have moved aside. The brotherhood is still here with Jesus Christ as their head, and they are still committed to and serving him, but I have moved aside and I have become wrapped up in my selfish little world, and therefore I don't like when the brotherhood interferes in my life in the thing that I'm doing, because I want to do my own thing and I don't want to listen to what the brotherhood is saying, because remember, I'm not submitted to Jesus Christ anymore. I'm now doing my own thing, and therefore it causes the brotherhood to become a botherhood to me. So I believe most of the time, if the brotherhood becomes a botherhood, it's my problem and not the brotherhood's problem, most of the time. And like I said, I believe it usually has to do with my attitude. You know, maybe it could even be as simple as a critical spirit that I have, where I, because of something I have going on in my life, I begin to no longer see my brother through the eyes of love, through the mind of Christ, but I begin to see him through my carnal mind, and I begin to see his imperfections and his faults, and they really stand out to me, and I don't love the brotherhood anymore as I should, and therefore the brotherhood becomes a botherhood to me. When I'm asked to do something, it's just a bother. You know, I'd rather not do that. You know, the people in the brotherhood aren't perfect. None of us are. But we all need each other. Let's remember, I am not my own. You know, and as Brother Jay was talking this morning about the automated egg picker, you know, that takes away the need for labor. You know, that we are in a world, in an age now where there are a lot of things like that. And, you know, I like to make those kind of things. You know, I like to build things that make my life easier, that, you know, it takes less effort for me to do something. But the downfall of that can be, if we let it, it can be to where it makes us think that we are independent. You know, I'm in my own little world here. I don't need you. I remember the days as a young boy when, you know, we would get together with our friends and neighbors and we would work together filling fallow. And we greatly enjoyed that as young boys. You know, I don't know how our dads felt about it, but I'm sure it probably gave them a good feeling, you know, to work together like that and to, you know, spend the day or days, you know, helping someone else fill silos. It was probably more of a satisfaction in doing that than it was just getting your own silo filled. But, you know, as time went on, those things pretty much quit. It didn't happen anymore. I'm not sure what all changed, but was there more help available? Was there more automated equipment? You know, bigger tractors, bigger choppers, bigger wagons? I don't know. But it's interesting how those things change. Number three, what are some results of the brotherhood becoming a botherhood to me? What happens when I look at the brotherhood as a botherhood? I think number one, or one of the main things that it's going to bring about in my life, is a selfishness. You know, like I said earlier, I'm wrapped up in my own little world. I'm just, it's all about me. I forget that I am not my own. You know, I think the world revolves around me, and I don't need you. The work of the church becomes a bother. I don't want to be disturbed. I'm too busy doing my own thing. Just leave me alone. You know, when I'm asked to have a devotional, a topic, or a message, you know, it's a bother to me. I'd rather not have to do that. I've got my own thing I want to do. I don't want to study late Saturday night or get up early Sunday morning and study, prepare for that devotional, topic, or message. Maybe, you know, Wednesday evening is prayer meeting. I've got hay on the ground. They're predicting rain the next day. You know, what do I do? It's a bother to me to think about leaving my hay and coming to prayer meeting when I should be at home getting my hay up. Or it could be any other work that, you know, you really would like to stick with and get done. And so you skip out on prayer meeting because my work is more important than the brotherhood. It's a botherhood to me. Or maybe it's a thing of working late Saturday night, or you could say partying late Saturday night, and, you know, getting to bed late, and then I sleep in on Sunday morning, and it's a bother to me to have to get up and come to church. You know, I drag in at 5 minutes after, and, you know, I'm not really in the worship mode. I'm just here, so I won't be thought bad of. You know, instead, we could be prayed up and studied up. We could get to bed in good time and wake up refreshed, and we could spend more time in meditation and prayer and in preparation for coming to church. And, you know, when we do that, it's such a privilege to be able to be here. We come in a worship mood, and, you know, we're inspired, and we inspire others when we do that. That brings us to number four. Why is the brotherhood so important? I'd like to look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." Some people refer to that as the 11th commandment. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So I think this is probably one of the most important reasons why we should love the brotherhood. Because Jesus said here that if we love one another, the people around us are going to know that these people are really my disciples. You know, when we can look past those imperfections, those faults of the brothers and sisters, and we can love them in spite of that, people notice that. It stands out. It shows up in the way we live. It shows up in the joy we have in our lives. You know, and the love of Christ flowing through us to those around us, you know, that is attractive to the lost, dark world out there. Our witness, it is so important, because when we don't love one another, when the brotherhood becomes a botherhood, it destroys our witness. It ruins that witness. Let's turn a few pages to John 15, verses 9 through 13. Jesus said here in verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus is saying that there is no greater love than to do what he did, to lay down his life for his friend. So the brotherhood gives us the opportunity to lay down our will, our lives, if you will, even sometimes, for our brother. You know, it is good for us to give in to one another. It is not good for us to be independent and to think that the world revolves around me. I have got my own thing and I don't need you. That is not good for us. You know, when you see this verse, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Would you give your life physically for your brother? You know, that's possible that we would. But what about the thing of giving up your idea of how you think something should be in a matter of opinion and giving that up and laying that down for your brother? Sometimes that might be harder than giving your physical life for your brother because of the pride and everything involved. So I believe the brotherhood is important because it teaches us to forbear. It teaches us to give up our will and to give in. Another reason for the brotherhood is the thing of sharing. In the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 10, it gives three philosophies of life. The robber's philosophy, when he robbed that man on the way to Jerusalem to Jericho, was that what you have is mine, and I will take it. The priest and the Levite came along. They had the philosophy that what is mine, and I will keep it. And then the Samaritan, when he came along, he saw the man in the ditch. His philosophy was, what is mine is yours, and I will share it with you. Well, Jesus endorsed the Samaritan's philosophy, and he said, go thou and do likewise. So the brotherhood gives you that opportunity to share. You know, and not just, it says we should do good, let us do good unto all men, but especially to them who are the household of faith. So, you know, start in the brotherhood, but we should also share with those around us. And that is another reason. The brotherhood gives us more opportunity to share what God has given us. Helen Steiner Rice wrote a poem, "The More You Give, The More You Get." The more you give, the more you get. The more you laugh, the less you fret. The more you do unselfishly, the more you live abundantly. The more of everything you share, the more you'll always have to spare. The more you love, the more you find that life is good and friends are kind. For only what we give away enriches us from day to day. So the brotherhood helps us to learn to be unselfish. It helps us to learn to give up. You know, and as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should be a part of the brotherhood in the sense of giving as much as we can possibly give. You know, when I come to church, you know, having worked late Saturday night, my mind is really on my work and the things I'm doing at home, and I come in, I'm not in the worship mood, I am not giving everything I can to the brotherhood. You know, my inspiration in Sunday school is likely to be down versus coming prayed up and studied up and, you know, being an inspiration. You know, to be a part of the brotherhood is not what I can get out of it. It's what I can put into it. As God gives it to me, I share it. I will share it with you, as the Samaritan's philosophy was. You know, as we think of the different things in the brotherhood, you know, we have decisions that we have to make. You know, how often do we have activities? When, what, how do we do this and how do we do that? You know, we could have the thing of, well, I don't want as many activities because, you know, I'm a homebody. I want to stay at home. I want to do my own thing. Well, that is a selfish reason. There could be others who want more activities because they have selfish interests and reasons for wanting more activities. So it takes a giving and a taking. It takes forbearance, loving one another in spite of our differences. You know, it wouldn't be good if all of you would be like me. You know, I enjoy being at home. There are others who enjoy having more things going. It wouldn't be good if you'd all be like me or if we'd all be like you. We need to be different. We need to accept each other for who we are and how we are and love each other in spite of that. You know, it takes a giving up of my will and a full surrender to God's will for my life in order to make the brotherhood an enjoyable place for everyone. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So the brotherhood is so important that we walk in transparency, that we give everything that we have, that we love one another, that we grow in that love, as it tells us in the Bible here, that we should grow, continue in that and grow in that. As Jesus said in John 15, that as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And sometimes, you know, giving all that we can to the brotherhood involves getting out of our comfort zone, you know, walking in the light, being willing to open our lives, even if it means getting hurt sometimes. And it means being willing to share and to love, even when we don't feel like it sometimes. So may God bless you as you endeavor to give to the brotherhood and not allow the brotherhood to become a botherhood. So may God bless. Let's kneel for prayer.